Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, we're so thankful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We are studying this week and returning after some time to our study in the Gospel of John. And this week we come to John chapter 15. I want to read a little bit of this passage, and then we are going to exposit this text throughout the course of the week, opening it up to you, dear radio listener, to see the riches of Christ in this glorious passage. And let me just say, this is what we do as pastors. This is our conviction at the Linden United Reformed Church, to expositionally preach the Word of God, to show Jesus Christ from all of Scripture, because we believe this is the life-transforming power of God to change you and to bring you into the light. As the Father has loved me, John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Well, there has been a phenomenon that has always very much grieved me in the Reformed world over a disconnect between the biblical doctrine of election and the fruits that should correspond to believing it. In simple terms, what in the world ever produced people to put an adjective before chosen, such as frozen? That should be immensely troubling to us, because it's an impossibility. Jesus says here in John chapter 15 that he has chosen us for the purpose of bearing fruit. And what you're going to find as the first real fruit of election is the sacrificial love for one another that Jesus here talks about. It goes without saying that in the church world there has been a real lack of this. I'm looking at us this morning. I'm looking at Chris Gordon today. I'm looking at us, not everyone else, but number one, the one who addresses you today. That often there has been bad fruit of fighting and browbeating. And I want to emphasize this, that even in our churches, there's the danger of becoming sectarian, forced submission to what becomes a pride-driven martyr complex in defending the truth. Calvin once said this, that mutual love is demanded above all things. And then he says, there's no greater hindrance than when everyone labors apart. When this brotherly fellowship with one another is not maintained, large heaps are erected, resulting in things being disjointed and confused. All the while, there is no building of the church. That's exactly what happens. The fruit of a lack of love is the disintegration of a body, which produces the fruits of wars and fighting. The fruit of love results in a healthy church, where every member does its share as the body grows in its understanding of the gospel. Finding a balance in all of this, especially when we are called to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to all the saints, is a hard one. I believe the passage this morning provides us this perspective about what Christ's election of us means, what his purpose is, what are the fruits by which we can see our election. This morning and this afternoon, whatever you're tuning in, we have a morning program and afternoon program. Christ is assuring his disciples here of his love for them and how they can be assured of that love. And Christ is using this to inflame them in the kind of response that he desires of them. Christ is teaching that the result of his electing love will be an assurance of faith and the fruit of a sacrificial love in you that he commands us to be imitators of as we have received from him. I want to open this up today and this week to see how Christ describes the kind of Christian life he has chosen for his followers. The greatest grief that the disciples faced since chapter 13 of John's gospel was the reality that Jesus was leaving them. The first part of John 15 consoled them about the other really painful things they were facing. Judas's betrayal. There Christ described the nature of the kingdom and that there are all kinds of branches, some bearing fruit and some not. The issue of fruit bearing is on their minds. How do they know? How do I know if I am bearing fruit? How do you know that? I mean, Judas walked with Christ to the end and there was no fruit. Jesus now explains this. He doesn't want them living in fear of that. So how does he remedy this? What he does here is first overwhelm them with assurance, describing for them the kind of life and mission he has set them apart to. Now, this is extremely important, dear radio listener, because it's making a direct connection between assurance of faith and the fruits that correspond. In fact, I believe that there is a vital connection between having assurance of faith and fruit. Jesus said you would know them by their fruit. On the one hand, the assurance of your salvation drives your response in the Christian life. On the other, the evidence of fruit in your life assures your hearts of his love. So there's a really important connection between the two. If you have a people unassured of Christ's gospel promise, unassured of his gospel love, what happens to fruit bearing? You have a barren tree. Why? Because good works only spring from the root of true faith, a believing heart. And you either believe that Christ died for you and that these things are for you, or you don't. A fearful flock is an inactive flock. This is why Jesus was saying, "Do not fear, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So, this is what he's doing here. That kind of assurance motivates response. So this is what Jesus says here in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So he looks at his disciples and he says to them, I want you to abide, remain, or stay in my love for you. Now the way of doing that, Jesus says, is a direct connection to honoring his commandments. He was communicating the truth that true consolation comes with the testimony of a good conscience. He knows that what sin does to you is that it wounds your conscience. It attacks your assurance. The way to abide is to walk in his will. It's a safe place to be. To walk outside of God's will is to open you up to a life of misery. Severe chastisement of him if you're a believer, because you can't go on sinning that grace may abound. So this is his desire that he's expressing here. And then in verse 11, he says, I say all of this with the purpose that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be complete. This is what I desire for you. Isn't this amazing? That my joy be in you and that you abide in my love. Now in verse 12 of John 15, he reemphasizes his new commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Did you hear what he just did, dear listener? He expressed his will for them, his desire for them, but what did he root his command in? What did he root it in that motivated them? It was his love for them. This is an extremely important point today. Essentially, he's saying, you are loved. Therefore, as followers of me, exemplify that love for one another. Now, what is it about Christ's love? Verse 13 describes it. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is an amazing verse, not only because it's so overwhelming that God would call us his friends, but that when Christ came here to lay down his life for us, we were his enemies. You see, I pick my friends based on what? Well, there has to be something I like in them. They have to suit me well. They have to make me comfortable. Do you know if you're a Christian today, Christ came and died for you when you were an enemy, when you were still in your sins? Now, Jesus wants them to think about this. He's looking at them, knowing that they are nothing but failures and sinners. He's looked at the believer and said that. He knows your sins. He knows what you've done. And the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ is what? He has purposely chosen to love you and give his life for you and die for you when you never offered anything to God that was worthy enough for him to accept you. That's the Christian gospel. That's the announcement to the believer. Christ died for us while we're yet sinners. That's grace. Grace means, dear listener, that he never found anything pleasant in you to begin with. He never looked down and saw that you would even choose him. He never saw anything that you would do to please him. And he says, I loved you when you hated me. You see, this is the challenge. This is what he's motivating them to here in this gospel. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now you sit back from that and say, wait a minute. He's just said he's loved me. And now it seems when he says that he's saying that his love and friendship is contingent upon my obedience. This is really important today that we understand what he's saying. In verse 15, Jesus says something that is just crucial to the Christian life. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. I want you to feel what he's doing here in this passage today. Jesus was reminding them that what his gospel does is break us free away from being under the law for condemnation and slaves. Slaves to unrighteousness. When Jesus called us, when Jesus died for us, when we come to faith in Christ, you know what he does for us? He transfers us to another kingdom so that we're no longer slaves of unrighteousness, but now friends of God. And it's in that connection that we have grace to live out who we are. It's in that state, it's in that place of freedom in Christ's love that we're no longer tied to rules and regulations of trying to merit our salvation. No, no, no. But that in his love, we're already freed from condemnation. And now we have his life implanted in us so that we can be who we are. That's the freedom he gives the Christian. I pray that you have that today by his grace, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that no longer you are a slave, but a friend of God, that you may live in the joy of this comfort. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.